In Portugal, it's popular to be sad, especially if you're a singer. The style of songs called fado has been making Portuguese listeners cry for more than a century. Fado is steeped in Portugal's poetry, literature, and politics. A younger generation of singers is trying to reshape fado. One of them is Cristina Branco. David Darcy has this profile.
There's no school for fado singers. Most of them hear it at home and on the street and start singing it in bars. Cristina Branco, who's 28, grew up indifferent to fado. She says she only started singing it after someone gave her a record 10 years ago by the most famous fado singer, Amália Rodrigues.
Ai, moraria, dos rochos nós nos beirais, dos vestidos cor de rosa, dos percões tradicionais.
We normally say in Portugal that fado must be born with you, or else you won't sing it never in your life. I think they're right, because I don't think you can learn it in school. Like you cannot learn to play the acoustic guitar on that Portuguese fado way. It's so particular, so specific, that you cannot learn it, you just have to feel it yourself.
In the song Ai Vida, Cristina Branco sings, I am this sadness, alas, life. The word fado comes from fatum, the Latin word for fate, but the style has more to do with fatalism and the notion that sadness is part of destiny. Most fado singers had humble beginnings, according to Portuguese filmmaker Bruno de Almeida, whose documentary on the late Amália Rodrigues is playing in theaters around the country.
The origins of fado are pretty much the origins of the blues, that they start in clubs. In the case of fado, they start with sailors and prostitutes and, you know, very poor people who go to these clubs and improvise over a structure of 12-bar, 16-bar musical structure. And they're improvising on various themes of sadness, or some of them are joyful, but pretty much a complaint, a lament.
In the film, Amália Rodrigues says it's a lament that's eternal.
The Portuguese have always had it in them. There isn't a poet who doesn't speak of the tragedy of fado. Fado, bad fortune. The word says it all.
Rodrigues grew up in the slums and began singing for tips when she was selling fruit on the wharves of Lisbon. Cristina Branco had a more comfortable upbringing and went to college. She says her generation associated fado with the conservative dictatorship that kept Portugal isolated until the regime was overthrown in 1974.
After 74, maybe 10, 15 years after that, people realized that fado was basically their roots. It belonged to them. It belonged to the people and not to a certain regime or to a certain political part. It could be something very good. That's when we started once again to rediscover fado.
Tristemente procurando a forma mais.
Fado has not broken the grasp of American pop music on Portuguese youth, but the young people like Branco, who are not born into Fado but have adopted it, are taking the tradition in all sorts of directions. Besides Branco, who's known for the cool beauty of her voice and her ensemble's spare musical arrangements, there are male singers like the Angolan Bonga, who might be called Fado's Tom Waits.
Subiu a proa de cachola pra Lisboa. Uauê, que isso é a jibá. Hoje pangue a lenga quaputu calunga mamambata.
Another singer in Cristina Branco's generation, Dulce Ponch, performs songs inspired by Amália Rodrigues, but the younger woman uses electric instruments and orchestra. Experimentation worries the Fado purists, but purists attacked Rodriguez for experimenting over the years when she sang in French, Spanish, Italian, and even English. Purists misunderstand what Fado really is, Rodriguez says in the documentary about her career.
There are no Fado historians. Those who speak about Fado know just as much as I do. Anyone can choose to feel it their own way. Fado is mystery.
For the younger generation singing Fado now, the challenge, according to filmmaker Bruno de Almeida, is to find the emotional darkness rather than experiment with the arrangements.
It's all about truth. If you're singing Fado, it has to be truthful. And they can be truthful in their own emotions, but I don't think it communicates the expression of something which is, you know, you have to think again, Amália, when she was singing, that was the music that was happening. Even late in the later years, I mean, when she sang, it was like everybody got it. I mean, it was a universal thing. It didn't sound ethnic or small or something we don't really understand.
Some critics say that the young Cristina Branco needs a little more heartbreak to find that truth. And she understands that to get there, she needs to stay close to Fado as the Portuguese have known it.
There are some people trying to change it, taking out the bass guitar and adding the double bass and other instruments like the violin and so on. But I think if we don't respect the traditional instruments and the traditional way of being played, then we will change it too much.
Lisboa, terra de todos e ninguém, a que Deus deu o encanto, a ti, cidade, ninguém.
The audience may be the final judge. Branco's two concerts on her first trip to the United States were sold out, and she drew an audience that was broader than the usual Portuguese-American public that Fado singers perform for when they come here. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.